And they would be set free from ignorance or sin by the secret knowledge. This is Gnosticism. And it's with this backdrop that John writes these letters. These Gnostics, these people that see the world as a mistake. It's under this that he writes these letters. So let's pray, and then we're going to look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Like I said, if you open your Bibles to join along with me, you're not going to the Gospel of John. You're going to 1 John in the table of contents. 1 John. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we think about the apostle that you put in place, John. He was with you. He saw all that you did, all that you heard. And Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, some 60 years later, you gave him words to write down on the page to combat heresy that he's dealing with in his day. And Lord, we see some of these same ideas brought up in New Age and Hinduism and all kinds of different places. These ideas about Gnosticism. And Lord, you brought him words to combat those ideas that go against you and go against your Son. Lord, give us guidance today as we walk through some tougher material. Lord, we're not always feeling like we're up for theology and church history. So, Lord, send us your Holy Spirit and guide us to your truth. We ask for help in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John, starting off with verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our hearts. Well, John starts off big, just like he does in his gospel. And I'll remind you of the beginning of his gospel here. In his gospel, he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." In the same way, Jesus starts out big. The Gnostics, they thought Jesus was a created being, that he was lesser than the supreme God. and that he was created to bring the Gnostic wisdom to people. But John, he combats all of this. And he starts his letter by saying, that which was from the beginning. Well, what beginning are we talking about? I believe that John here, just like he does in the Gospel of John, is talking about creation, talking about how Jesus is the Word that was at creation. We're talking about the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus before he was born and had a body, the Word before he was made flesh. Jesus was there at the beginning, and all things were created through him. I think John is pointing all of this out again. He's starting off big. Jesus is God. We talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus is there at the beginning. Then John talks about we. This is that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Well, who is the we? Well, John is an apostle. And when we hear John talk about we, I believe he's speaking for the apostles. John has authority here over the Gnostic teachers that he's been dealing with. He knew Jesus for real. He walked with Jesus. He was one of the 12 apostles. He, like he says here, talking about Jesus, he heard Jesus for real. He saw Jesus with his own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. He was by Jesus' side. He was rubbing elbows with Jesus as they walked down the road. He was next to Jesus at the Last Supper. John here is claiming his authority over those false teachers. Hey, I don't know about these guys, but I know Jesus. I was with him. And who is this Jesus, he proclaims? He is the giver of life. He is the giver of life. Jesus isn't just some sort of wise, lesser God that's bringing knowledge that will set you free, some secret knowledge. No, he is the giver of life. John teaches the true Jesus. And we can make a point here that any other Christ besides the one brought to us by the apostles, any other Jesus proclaimed besides the ones that we get from the apostles, is no Jesus at all. It's a false Jesus. So today, if you hear a message about Jesus and the folks are telling you that this Jesus is a different Jesus than you hear from the apostles, it is no Jesus at all. We can pinpoint different groups. I certainly can. There's a false Jesus that the Mormons praise. They might say they follow Jesus, but it ain't the same Jesus. They're not following the Jesus that were brought to us by the apostles. Or the Jehovah's Witnesses, they might talk about Jesus too, but they are not bringing you the Jesus of the apostles. It is a different Jesus. And a different Jesus is no Jesus at all. And we can ask ourselves here, are you following the Jesus of the Scriptures? The Jesus of the Bible, is that who you bow down to? Is that who you follow? Any other Jesus is no Jesus at all. A Jesus of our own making, even, is no Jesus at all. John here is pointing out that he knew Jesus, and here's who he is. He is the giver of life. He's not what the Gnostics have been telling them about. Verse 2. John continues, the life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Again, we're talking about the very real Word made flesh, was born in Israel for real 2,000 plus years ago. When John was writing, it would have been 60 years ago. Jesus isn't just a spiritual thing. He was a real, breathing, flesh and blood Jesus. Remember, the Gnostics, they're trying to say that the created world, all of it's bad, all of it's a mistake, all of it's evil. And John here is like, no. There was a real, breathing, flesh and blood Jesus, God with a bod. There's not this dualism between the creation and spirituality. That's not a thing. We have the real, breathing, flesh and blood Jesus. We've seen it. We've seen Jesus. We now testify to Jesus. And there's going to be real, eternal life. Real eternal life from Jesus. And it's not just going to be a spiritual thing. It's going to be a real flesh and blood body kind of thing. Jesus, he was really raised from the dead. His body came out of that tomb. Real, living, breathing. In the same way, we are going to have a resurrection someday on the last day when Jesus comes again. It's not just a spiritual thing. It is a real creation, living and breathing kind of saving. That's what Jesus brings. Are you looking for a resurrection someday? Because that is the promise in Scripture, that we will be raised from the dead, just like Jesus was raised from the dead. Yes. Yes, when we die right now before Jesus comes back again, yes, we will in spirit go to be with Jesus and we will be in heaven with him, but there will be a day. That's just temporary, because there will be a day when Jesus returns from heaven. And on that day, on Judgment Day, we will rise from the dead. And we will be with him, flesh and blood, forever and ever and ever. Like I said, the Gnostic idea is this separation. That the physical, that matter, that flesh and blood, that's all a mistake. And that all we need is the spiritual. No. Christianity is about fullness of both spirit and creation. And Jesus redeems it all. He redeems it all. That's what Jesus has come to do. Verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Like I said, the false Gnostic teachers, they are telling people that they need to have some special knowledge that only they can provide, the gnosis, the knowledge. And if they were to get this knowledge, it would end ignorance or sin in their lives, so that they could know the truth by looking within themselves to find true spirituality, to find their own saving. But John lets the people know that there's no secret knowledge. We've told you the truth about Jesus. Join with us in our fellowship. Join the church. Be a part of us. Hear the real truth about the Word of God. Have fellowship with us. And when you have fellowship with us, you will certainly find fellowship with the Father and the Son, because that is of utmost importance, having fellowship with the Father and the Son. Join with us in the narrow way of salvation. Personal relationship with God. Union with Jesus. Real connection. No separation of, or no dualism between creation and the spiritual. Right here, right now, enter into prayer for real with God. Dive into his word. Be led by the Spirit. And John in verse 4 says, we write this to make our joy complete. John wants to see everybody that who is called by Jesus to join arms with him in praising and looking toward the real Jesus, the Jesus that the apostles knew, the Jesus that he knew. Come and join arms with me and enjoy the sweetness of a personal relationship with God. And this joy that he's looking for, it's not a general American dream happiness. That's not the kind of joy he's talking about. Not the kind of joy that we think we all need when we buy that new car or buy that new thing. No, he's talking about the joy that comes with fellowship with God. Not temporary cheerfulness, but that sweet, sweet connection with God. And this is a kind of joy that is not silenced by trouble, by hardship, by famine, by sword, by illness, or any of these other things. This is a joy that will keep us speaking the name of Jesus everywhere we go, where we keep bringing Jesus' name up no matter what, over and over and over again. Even if it provides trouble for us, we keep speaking the name of Jesus. We know that a lot of the apostles and disciples did this even unto their deaths. They kept praising the good name of Jesus. And we even hear from, especially in the letters of Paul, that as the persecution grew deeper in his life, his joy grew deeper. That's the kind of joy that John wants us to join in with him on. I don't know if you guys know a lot of church history, but there has been severe persecution in the church over the years. And there's one type of persecution, besides being crucified, that sticks out in my mind. I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but it's called a brazen bull. So this was an extreme form of torture. They would fashion together a bronze bull. We're talking about a giant idol. They'd make a giant bronze bull, and what this was an oven. And they would put Christians inside of it and literally cook them to death. And after they were done cooking them to death, they would take their scorched bones that were all shined up, and they would make them into bracelets and those kinds of things. It's a kind of joy John's talking about here that continues even through persecution. And we can ask ourselves today, are you singing? Are we singing? What a friend we have in Jesus. Through the thick and thin, no matter what's going on. This is the kind of joy that John's talking about. Verse 5. Now, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Remember, the Gnostics, they had this dualism. They were trying to do away with the physical, with creation. That was all a mistake. They were focusing on the spiritual. And for them, they were trying to teach that there was secret knowledge. You could discover the divine light in you. And they believed that there was a divine spark in you, and that all that you needed, and all that we really needed, was wisdom from Jesus, so that we could unlock that in our own lives. That was their picture. They just need the right wisdom to find it. And these Gnostic teachers, they were the ones to give it to you. Doesn't this kind of sound like modern day spirituality? It's all about you. Finding your true self. And if you really know yourself at a deep enough level, you're really going to know God. That the divine spark, the divine light is within you. And you just need to look into yourself to find your salvation. Maybe you've even heard somebody talk about we are God and God is us. This idea that we're all really God. Well, John brings us the truth. It doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with you. It starts with God. God is light. God is good. God is holy. He is perfect. There is no evil in him at all. There is no darkness within him. God is light. And Jesus, the Son, we read in Scripture, is the light of the world. He is perfect. And there is no falsehood in him whatsoever. God is light. We even have this in our own Nicene Creed. Speaking of Jesus, the Nicene Creed says, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence of the Father, and through him all things were made. This is Christianity that the apostles bring us. This is the truth about Jesus from eyewitness accounts, from John himself. Jesus, that is where the light is found. It is not found within you. It's from Jesus. It's from Jesus. That's where we find life. That's where we find light. It's from Christ. Verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Again, the Gnostics lived this dualistic life. They would focus their energy on the spiritual, and they would deny the physical, the creation. And what that means is that on the inside, they're trying to focus on this spiritual stuff, but how did they live their lives? Well, they lived however they felt like, because to them, that was all a mistake. It doesn't matter. So they lived morally rotten lives. They were just doing what they wanted, how they wanted, when they wanted. They lived depraved lives. And they were claiming that they had fellowship with Jesus, but yet they were walking in darkness. And here John is saying, don't follow these guys. They are corrupt. Look at my life. Look at the ministry that we do. Look for the fruits of the Spirit. And if they show darkness, like the darkness of the false teachers, then we're not living the truth. And then verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Look in us and see if there's the fruits of the Spirit. Are we resting in Jesus alone? Are we resting in his sacrifice alone? Is it all by his grace alone, by his mercy alone, by his plain word alone? Is the light of Christ shining through us? Have we been purified by his light? Not our light, nothing that we can find on our own, but have we been purified by his light through the forgiveness of sins? Not by secret knowledge, not by inward self-exploration. And this isn't a solo sport either. It's something that we do together, part of the fellowship, part of the church, because Jesus is the head of the church. Fellowship with Jesus means being in fellowship with his people. And these Gnostic teachers, they're on the outside of that. Verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Remember, the Gnostics, they had mixed up views when it came to sin. Sin, for them, was ignorance of knowledge. Ignorance of knowledge. So, they weren't concerned about outward sin. They weren't concerned about being morally corrupt here and now in this world, because they just saw it all as a big mistake. So it doesn't matter. John lets us know this is a deception. The only way to righteousness with the Father is by Jesus alone, by his work on the cross alone. It's not by finding hidden knowledge inside of us. It's not anything to do with the very complicated Gnostic hierarchy that these false teachers put together, not Hinduism or modern-day spirituality or any kind of dualism. No. These are deceptions. Rather, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, John lets us know, is much more than just a teacher of secret knowledge and secret wisdom to unlock the spark in us. Jesus is more than just a speaker of metaphors and parables. And Jesus is much more than just a giver of enlightenment, because that's the kind of picture that the false teachers, the Gnostics, were speaking. And if you look at a lot of New Age stuff today, it really seems like that same old Gnostic heresy over and over again. Jesus is our great God and King. He is our Savior. And when we confess our sins to Him, when we bow down to Him and call Him our Lord and follow His will and His ways, we are truly forgiven. Truly. Do you trust in that? Do you trust in that? Or are you telling yourself right now, well, Pastor, I don't feel forgiven. I'll stop you there and say, hey, you're diving into that Gnostic heresy, because it's not about how you feel about it. It's not about finding that divine spark inside of you. It's trusting that Jesus truly died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins so that you will have life. Are you trusting your feelings more than God's word? That is the Gnostic heresy. Trusting your feelings more than God's word, the truth brought to us by eyewitnesses like John. Final verse, verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. If we claim that we can find salvation on our own, that we're good, that we don't need Jesus, that we can save ourselves, that we can find that divine light in us by our own work, then we are calling Jesus a liar. We are telling him that we have no need for him. Man, like I said, this Gnostic heresy, it really falls close to home. How many people have you run into that said, you know what, I'm good, so I'm going to be in? Or, I don't need Jesus for salvation. Or, I've looked inside of myself and I'm finding life. I'm finding life through other spiritual means besides Jesus. Family, friends, people that we meet, looking inwardly. They're going to find their own way. Like I said, we're talking about New Age, Hindu, Buddhism, spiritualism, Kabbalah, identity, looking within, all of this stuff. Shopping the spiritual marketplace. All of this stuff is right at our fingertips. You can find all kinds of this stuff on quick searches on YouTube and elsewhere. But we need to beware. We need to beware of that dualistic idea. We need to recognize it. We need to see it in our own tendencies, too. Because this heresy, it just keeps coming up and up and up and up. To be right with God, we need to be right about Jesus. Who he is, what he has done. Not about us, but about him. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you for those very challenging words from the Apostle John. And Lord, we thank you for challenging us to dive deep today through some tough material, through some tough history in the church. Lord, I've had to learn more about Gnosticism this week. And Lord, there might be people in this room that have never even heard of it, but understand the principles. Lord, we thank you for bringing us those, and we ask for your continued help so that we can see the truth about you and about what you have done for us, and we can have tremendous clarity as we grow as disciples. We thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.